Black Doc Bemidji. This is Sports in the Round, live from the Ground Round. Go Green on 92.1 The River. You are connected. And now it's time for Sports in the Round. Sports in the Round. Sports in the Round. Live from the ground round. We've been talking Beaver sports for over a decade. Football, basketball, volleyball, track, golf, women's soccer, and men's and women's Division I hockey. Sports in the Round. 2 hours of Beaver sports coverage with interviews from coaches and athletes. The Beaver Radio Network with Schultze, Bix, and Kel. This is Sports in the Round. Live from the ground round on 92.1 The River.
Sports in the Round from the Ground Round here on the Beaver Radio Network. You have no idea how happy I am to be back in this chair. I feel like Norm from Cheers. I'm home. Like,
we're happy to have you back.
3 weeks, hasn't it? Since your last show?
No,
spent two. The last two on the road?
Yeah, I spent the last two on the road. Well, we never have a show before Thanksgiving anyway.
No.
Well, I guess doesn't count. But I'm not on a bus to godforsaken Michigan. Well, that was out loud. I'm sorry. Beaver men's basketball coach Mike Boshi, our guest tonight. Welcome back, sir. We appreciate it.
No problem. Good to be here.
As a coach, are you ever quite sure what to expect when you come into league play?
No, not at all. I mean, yeah, I'm thinking back to some of the successful teams here quickly, and you don't really know. It's like something magical, something special might happen throughout the year that one game might have triggered it, or a couple games might have triggered it, and you get, you know, a great shot or maybe even a lucky play that just kind of turns the corner a little bit, and you're off and running. But until it happens, you don't know.
You had a very magical year a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Has the luster of that magical year come and gone, unfortunately?
Yeah, it has. You know, you're coaching the present, and all coaches will attest to, I mean, the last game. I mean, you feel every game, and it doesn't matter what has happened in the past. You feel from game to game, and Coach Tesh made a comment to me maybe a week or two ago, something about you know, I guess it's your turn to not sleep for a little while here. So it's the truth. It is from game to game, from team to team, from day to day. I mean, however you want to characterize it, it's a process that you got to work through. And hopefully, when it's all said and done, you had a successful season.
I'm sorry, but I'm going to live in the past yet. James Ellisor was the National Player of the Year that year. Those kind of guys come around once in a blue moon,
yeah,
if ever, in a coaching career. Once you get a guy like that, though, you're always looking for the next one, aren't you?
You are. And, you know, to be honest with you, I don't even know if Coach Bowen thought Ellisor was going to be the player he was. You know, he came in, and I just hear stories and tidbits. You know, he didn't start him the first game, I think, or for maybe the first couple games. And maybe Pat Cassidy actually started a little bit. Remember Pat Cassidy?
Mm-hmm.
And
Pat was nowhere near the athlete of James Ellisor.
You know, and you know, James had a really good junior year, and I think he had a really good summer. And, you know, he's athletically gifted enough and worked hard enough. I think he became a better, stronger player his senior year. And then he had all other tools to go along with it. And, you know, they rode him. They rode him as well as he possibly could ride a player.
Well, you know, back to the present, obviously from year to year the teams change.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference between last year's team and this year's team?
This year's team, I feel like, has a better self or a better sense of maybe teamwork, a better sense of work ethic and trying to do things together to try to do something special. And, you know, I'm still optimistic. You know, we got off to a rough start in this road trip here at Duluth and St. Cloud State. But those two teams are going to be, you know, towards the top as well. And anytime you go on the road, it's always going to be a difficult challenge. You know, you could say that we had, you know, chances to win both of those games. We didn't shoot very well in either one. The first night, we may have been something like 5 of 22, 5 of 23 from 3. Mm. And, you know, if you just shoot an average percentage around like 38 to 40%, now you're leaving 12 points off the board right there. And then we shot poorly from the free throw line, again, both nights again as well. And at St. Cloud, I think we left 5 more. If we just shot like a 70, 75%, that's 5 more points we left off the board. And that's, you know, that's 17 points right there if you just kind of do average numbers. And that's not including, you know, some nights you're going to go off. You know, we're going to have a 12 of 20 from 3 once in a while, you know, but... we're just talking about like a 40% night. And,
well, from a coaching's perspective, is that probably the most frustrating thing? I mean, you put them in the position, but they don't make the shots, and some nights the shots just aren't falling.
That's the nature of basketball, I think. You know, they call it basketball because you have a ball and you want to throw it in a hole, and sometimes they don't go in. You know, sometimes the defense has a little bit to do with that as well. And but that's the truth. I mean, you know, we harp on defense a lot. We've harped probably more on defense this year than we have in the last couple of years. But we were good enough, I think, defensively for the most part. Now, we're showing our guys the things that we need to improve on, because we gave up, you know, 3 easy buckets to Duluth, you know, with about between the 9-minute mark and maybe the 4-minute mark that really cost us. And then we tried to take a charge on a play, and the dang officials, you know, over here.
Don't look at me. I wasn't there.
We tried to take a charge. We didn't get the call. There was a no call on it, so we have a guy on the ground. And so we have to scramble, and they got to open 3 because of it. Mm. And, you know, I'd rather have their foul called on us than just not call anything, because they got to open 3 and knocked it down 2. So those are, you know, tough ones that you'd like to be able to take away. But 2 good teams on the road, and we just didn't get it done.
Going even further back to your first 3 games, obviously non-conference, D2 NAIE schools, mm-hmm. and you guys beat those teams by 30 or more points in each of those 3 games, but what did you learn about your team early on that you were able to kind of tweak, or, you know, see what your freshmen were bringing to the table this year?
Well, when you play those early games, you get to see more players, obviously, and that's the goal, especially with a lot of new faces coming in. Mabel State, you know, they're a good team. We just dominate them for some reason. I'm not, you know, sure what went into that one, but we shot the ball really well. And if you defend well and shoot the ball well, it's a pretty good combination in basketball. And then the other one, Northland, you know, same kind of thing. We played really well defensively, and we didn't shoot the ball great in that one, so you had some concerns. But you're trying to find rotations. And even today, I feel like our rotation is still could go about 12 people deep.
That's a lot of guys.
I know, and I'm not sure that that's the best thing for this group, but we're struggling to find out who are the players, you know, the top 9 that we can go with, because there are some similarities, and one person might be a better defender, but the other person's a better offensive player, and we're trying to figure that out still a little bit. But, you know, Kentucky played a lot, you guys, last year, and I'm not comparing us to Kentucky or anything, but, you know, they did it, and you know, I think Arkansas, you know, 10, 15 years ago won a national title playing 12 guys. So Southwest State actually won the NSIC maybe 8 to 9 years ago when it was before Bigler was there. But I think they played like 10 to 12 guys. And the most a player played on the team was maybe like 23 minutes. So there are some teams that have done it. It just doesn't happen very often.
I have interviewed a couple of your transfers from this year. The one this week, it'll be online if my computer decides to cooperate tonight. It'll be on there later on tonight. But a transfer from UMass Lowell, Jordan Rhodes.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a soft-spoken kid. I don't know, maybe he was afraid of microphones. But he seems to get it.
Yeah.
He understands that, okay, Division I isn't for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go find a fit, and I want to go play for somebody who's trying to build a program back.
Yeah.
I kind of like guys that want that challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Is that why you brought him in?
Yeah, I think he, you know, at Lowell, I think they felt like he probably could have got it done there. They had another kid in the same position, the same class of freshman last year that beat him out. But, you know, still, if you stay with it, I think he could have got it done there. But like you said, I think he wanted to find a place where he could get more playing time. And Jordan is a good basketball player. He's not getting a lot of time for us right now, but he's a good basketball player who I would love to be able to play more. But I got Ben Best playing really well at the 5 right now. And I've got Will Harvey, who's playing pretty good. And then I got a freshman, Calvin Harrington, who's better than those guys defensively versus some of the teams in our league, because a lot of teams are playing small ball fours. Jordan's not necessarily a small ball four defensively.
Well, he's 6'7".
He's 6'7", but...
But under 190 pounds.
And that's the trick that I have to try to figure out with him. Because he can't play a post against a bigger guy necessarily. He can...
Well, he gets shoved around in this league.
He did. He did against St. Cloud a little bit, too. And he's a tough kid. I think I know he wants to be successful. I know he wants to help the team. But it's just still trying to find out where can I get him on the floor as well. Because Calvin clearly is our best small ball forward defensively for us. He's good offensively, too. You know, can I move him to the three? And Calvin may move to the three in the future. I mean, I think he'd be a really outstanding small forward for us. You know, he's 6'4", but plays more like he's 6'7". Can guard perimeter players. He can guard a point guard, and he probably could shut down, you know, some scoring two guards as well. I think he's that good defensively. So again, we're just having a tough time getting, you know, Shane White's another one. You know, Shane played for us a lot last year. Ben's been playing better. You know, it's the juggle, the struggle, the all those little things that you need to figure out, but. Hopefully over time it'll start sorting itself out here.
Is that the biggest challenge for a kid coming from high school? I mean, let's talk about Jordan Rhodes. 6'7", he was an all-league player, all-area player in Colorado as a high school player. I'm guessing nobody could match him athletically at that size.
Yeah.
You get to college and everybody's bigger than you are. Is that the biggest challenge, is just getting used to not being the best player?
Yeah, everybody's the best player underneath the college. Everybody was an all-state or all-region player. They're all bigger, faster, and stronger at every position. And Jordan, I want to use Jordan more. It's just, how can I do it? And we're constantly in all of our meetings that we have, how can we get him in there more? Because he's good offensively. He can make some things for us. Now, I do want his motor to turn a little quicker. I want him to play faster, play with a more intense urgency about him. But he's definitely talented enough.
Well, for us hockey players, when you say four, five, three, five means the center position traditionally.
Yeah.
So that's, generally speaking, the tallest guy on the team,
right. Usually.
Yeah. But these days, it seems it doesn't matter how tall you are. You're usually out shooting threes and potentially could be the four, even though you're 6'9", 6'10", even at this level.
Oh, yeah. We're going to play Augustana on Friday night, and Jansen, co-player of the year last year, as a preseason player of the year again this year, is 6'9", 250 pounds, and he's a good three-point shooter.
Wow.
And they send him outside quite a bit, and they throw their four-man inside, you know, half the time. And
That's why they're ranked third in the country.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, you know, to be honest, it's kind of like the team 3 years ago when I had Rockstead and Zach Noreen and Mason. If you recall it all, we posted up Rockstead more than Mason Walters, and Walters was a 6'7", 240-pound kid.
So there was nobody as strong as Lance Rongstead was.
Yeah.
That was his height.
Yep. And Rongstead's 6'3", 210 maybe or something like that, but he was a mean one. We threw him in the middle there to get mean, give us some buckets inside.
Well, the landscape of basketball seems to have changed from what certainly, you know, obviously as times change, things change. But it used to be, it seemed that, you know, there was the one guy with the ball, the two up at the top of the circle and the two down at the bottom, and you just ran your little plays and whatever. Mm-hmm. Now it seems like it's all over the board. Run and gun, or are there any of those set old school plays still in play, or is it pretty much all the new wave?
It's probably more new wave. Shot clock had a little bit to do with it. Now we even decreased it even 5 more seconds. It's down to 30 seconds per possession.
Wow.
But you still have some of those grinded out teams. Wayne State kind of grinds it out, probably, if you want to say that. But they press you still. They play fast. If you watch their movements, they're quick. They're fast. They move the ball really well. But I'm sure shot clock had a lot to do with that.
There's no sitting on the ball.
Nope.
I mean, you've got to you might as well go up and try to get some points, because you're going to lose the ball now.
Yep, exactly.
Since you started coaching, how much bigger have basketball players gotten at the college level? Because you notice it more in the NBA, how big they are. They're huge. But do you notice them even getting bigger in the D2 level?
Yeah, I think it's cycle or cyclical. I don't even know how you want to put it. But, you know, from year to year, I would say, well, you know, Augustana this year is a huge team. You know, when you watch them play, they're, you know, 6'9", 240. They'll come off the bench with another center, five-man at probably 6'9", 230. They're four-man, 6'6", 6'7", 215. They're 3-man, 6'4", probably 220. Their two guard is 6'6", you know, probably 200. But I think it still goes in cycles a little bit. I think if you showed pictures of all the teams going up, like you were talking, you know, like a 68, 69 team to 89 to 2010, yeah, I think you're going to see the differences quite a bit.
But Magic and Larry Bird were both big.
They were.
And you go 10 years later and you got Spud Webb at 5'8".
Yeah.
And now we're back to 6'6" point guards.
Spud was my hero, by the way, because I was the same height.
There aren't many Spud Webbs compared to Magic Johnson and Larry Bird size players. Not many Magics
and Birds. Back when Magic and Bird were in their heyday, that big of a point guard was unheard of.
True.
And especially as strong as Magic Johnson was.
Well, and back in the day, there might have been a hope for a 5'8 guy like me, but the
not anymore.
Shortest guy on your team's 5'11". Everybody else is over 6 feet. Wild. That's crazy. But you look like a pretty young team, Mike. Is that more challenges as a coach for you than if you just got a couple guys to try to throw in the mix?
If you want to be really successful, yeah, it's definitely more challenging. But it's fun, too. You know, in the Duluth game, we had three freshmen out in the floor to end the first half. And they're all talented. They just lack the experience to play at a really high level and to be able to do it over, you know, over time from game to game, playing at a high level. They probably don't understand that, but you know, Pekarik's a sophomore. Jordan Rhodes is a sophomore. You know, even the new guys, Harvey and Elijah Valdez, this level, even though they're juniors, coming into this level is completely different than the junior college level as well, and they need to figure that out, you know, too. So
does it feel like a whole new team? It looks like almost.
It does. It is. There's a lot of new faces to this group, so they still have a lot of room to, you know, figure things out and grow, and I do like the potential, what the future holds. You know, I wish I could tell you. I'd sleep a lot easier if I knew that. But I do like the group.
Of these guys that you've got that are new to the team, what's probably the most interesting story from your recruiting of them?
Oh, interesting story.
I mean, they're from all over the place. You know, Colorado, New Mexico.
Yeah. Jordan Rhodes is a military family, so he's bounced around the world a little bit, over in Germany for a while. He's, if you asked him where he's from, he wouldn't probably say Colorado. I don't know if he has to. If he said New York, Bronx?
Nope.
Yeah, he's...
I just went by the roster. I said you're from Colorado.
Yeah, he was in the Bronx, I think, for a few years before.
Well, being from Colorado Springs, I'm guessing dad in the Air Force?
Yeah. So he's retired now, his dad, but that's what brought him to Colorado, I think.
Wow.
You're in your fourth season here. Generally speaking, if you've got 16 guys on your roster, you want four from each class. It makes recruiting easier. It makes that transition period a little better. Mm-hmm. You haven't been able to get to that point yet.
No.
You've had to bring in JUCO guys to get experience, and that's a challenge in and of itself.
Yeah.
It takes playing time away from some young guys. It extends that process.
Right.
Are you still where you want to be on that process?
Getting closer. We signed five kids this fall that I'm excited about, high school kids that I think have a lot of the things that we're looking for. We have a 6'9", really athletic, Dirk Nowitzki type game. Now, don't quote me if he's going to play like that here in another couple years, but he's got kind of that game. He's good in the pick and roll. He can pick and pop. He can shoot. He's really athletic. He's a fun kid to watch. Logan Bader, 6'6", 6'7", kind of a power forward that shoots it as well. Comes from a good high school program. Peyton Dibble, a 6'5 guard. That's going to probably play the 1-2 or the 3. Probably start out as a 3. But he's going to guard multiple positions, drives it with power, can post up, shoot threes. Lucas Wentz, a really athletic, probably a stretch 4 man, about 6'6", 6'7". Bouncy. Going to be fun to coach, I think. I think he's just going to be able to score around the basket with ease, rebound in traffic. And then we got a shooter as well, a 6'4 shooter that, is going to be one of the top three-point shooters in Wisconsin. He was last year. He'll probably be this year again, just knocking down. So good class coming in, class that I think we can grow with. They just got to keep on being committed and keep on, working hard in the weight room and their skill level, and it could be a fun class to watch grow.
Sports on the Round from the Ground Around here on the Beaver Radio Network. VSU men's basketball team will host... I haven't seen the new rankings. They should come out today, shouldn't they?
Yeah.
They were ranked third last week in the country, August analyst.
Wow.
And Moorhead was
six or seven.
Six. Good luck in the league this year. We'll chat more about the weekend when we return. Sports in the Round from the Ground Around right here on the Beaver Radio Network.
More of Sports in the Round coming up live from the Ground Round on 92.1 The River.
Hi, Phil here from Deerwood Bank in Bemidji. If you own a small business, this might sound familiar. That was a nickel. Now, how about this one? That one's a dime. Sound innocent enough? But what if these were nickels and dimes you've spent on checking account services over the years? At Deerwood Bank, we'll never nickel and dime you with never-ending fees to access your money. We offer free business checking, remote deposit, and online banking. Stop in and see us today. Deerwood Bank, member FDIC, and the business bank with all the answers.
Acme Tools of Bemidji is a proud supporter of BSU Sports and wish all of our teams the best of luck this season. The next time you are planning a building, remodeling, woodworking, or landscaping project, stop into Acme Tools to get the tools you need to get the job done right. Since 1948, Acme Tools has been an area leader for selling the best brands of quality tools and equipment with a low price guarantee. Check out our product lines and service by going to acmetools.com. Let Acme Tools help you do your best work. Go Beavers!
Shopping at Marketplace Foods.
Hi, Mike McNeil here at Marketplace Foods. When you're filling your vehicle up with our Shell gasoline, keep in mind that just steps away is a full-service grocery store at your fingertips. Through Marketplace Express, you can quickly access the deli for a quick, hot meal to go, not to mention a quick way to grab some healthy snacks for yourself or the kids as you run to the next event in your day. Marketplace Express, a convenience store with grocery store prices.
Successful in a sport, an athlete must be both dedicated and competitive. Hi, this is Becky with Venusa Appliance Sales and Service. As a proud sponsor of Bemidji State University Sports, we carry that same philosophy. At Venusa, our crew is 100% dedicated to giving you the best product while customer service. We are competitively priced. Come see why Venusa does it better. Located just behind Sanford Walk-In Clinic on Minn Kota Avenue.
You're gonna love getting used to Venusa.
Celebrate the holiday season with your local cooperative. This Friday between 9 and 3, stop by the Paul Bunyan Community.
Get up to 250 digital channels with Paul Bunyan Television. And with our whole home DVR, you can watch your shows whenever you want. Fiber optic fast internet delivers speeds up to a gigabit.
It's that time of the year again. Ice fishing is here, and Corner Sports has a great selection of Ice Castle fish houses in stock. From the Scout, small enough to get out on early ice to spear an angle, to the RV model for camping or fishing. Plus, Corner Sports offers on-the-spot financing and can get you ready to go ice fishing. Need accessories for the fish house you already have? We have that too. So hurry into Corner Sports before they're all gone. Corner Sports, a mile and a half north of the airport in Bemidji, or online at cornersports.us.
You're listening to Sports in the Round on 92.1 The River.
Sports in the Round from the Ground Around here on the Beaver Radio Network. Schultze, Biss, and Kel with you tonight. None of these three guests know about this, so things could change before next week. But I'm trying to get all three commissioners. Aaron Lind with the NSIC. And the two WCHA hockey commissioners next week, all on the Paul Bunyan Communications hotline.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Oh, because there's no other games.
Because basketball plays next week, but Chelsea was just here last week. Mike's here tonight. I don't think they want to come back next week.
Good idea.
And then in 2 weeks, just a couple of days before Christmas, will be the Paul Bunyan Youth Hockey Tournament. Then we'll take 2 weeks off and come back in January and be all rejuvenated.
There you go.
Exactly. I like that idea.
I can't believe it's that time of year already that we're talking about those things.
It's gone fast.
It has.
Coach, you take on Augustana Friday night, 8 o'clock. In the NSIC playing back-to-back nights, most of the week is spent on that Friday night game. Mm-hmm. Have a few wrinkles in practice for the Saturday team, but that's pretty much left for the walkthrough Saturday morning. When you're playing Augie, is it good to have them on Friday night or not have the guys think about it so much and play them on Saturday?
Oh, boy, that's a good one. We just stick to the process. We do have to focus on Augie first. We try to do some things on Monday or Tuesday of the Saturday game, whether it's, you know, we don't really talk about the other team, but we do drills for the other teammate, a shell drill, a four-on-four, a five-on-five shell that kind of mimics their offense a little bit. And we did that this week a little bit. But Aggies a load. They are a beast of a team, and that'll take everything from us to knock those guys off.
They beat Iowa or Iowa State?
Iowa, at Iowa.
Yeah, wow. They're the Carver Hawkeye and one.
They beat the Hawkeyes?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Well, there was
it wasn't a fluke, correct?
No, it was a great game throughout. Yeah.
Well, there was a columnist today that talked about South Dakota teams beating the U, but how many teams in the region could beat the Gophers right now? And Augustana was listed, Mankato was listed. I think Southwest might have been listed.
Really?
Yeah. Gophers are going to struggle a little this year. But... is there one part of Augie's game that you can try to take advantage of? That answers that question. Yeah. Biss, what do you got?
Well, hopefully they don't you hope that a team like that just goes stone cold shooting? I mean, that's one thing that will...
You can't lay your hopes on that,
Well,
Biss.
No, but, I mean, that's basketball, though. You can run into those kind of nights, even the best of teams.
I mean, they're good at every position. You know, the point guard isn't shooting it as well this year as he did last year, but, you know, he shot at a really high clip last year. You know, maybe you can do some things with him. Their studs are their 3-4 and their 5 for sure. Their 5-man, again, is probably 20 a game. Their 4-man's probably close, and their 3-man's probably pretty close as well. But you do have to run into a team like that doesn't shoot as well. We have to shoot extremely well. We have to make things difficult for them in some way. You know, we'll probably try to take away two of their best things that they do. And, you know, if they're a complete team, they'll be able to counter it and just keep on cruising along. And that's what usually happens with Augustana. Teams are trying zones, man-to-mans, you know, maybe doubling the post a little bit. I mean, they've seen it all. But they've been good enough to beat it. They have one loss in the year that I think might have been their first game against a Kansas school that, you know, pressed them a little bit, changed up their presses, changed up their zones. But it wasn't really because they stopped them. It was a high-scoring game. They outscored them a little bit, and sometimes you can do that as well. You know, the team I had with Noreen and Maxie Rosenblum their senior year, we were really good defensively, but we outscored teams a lot as well, and sometimes just doing that is still good enough, and, you know, we're not going to be choosy if we're going to win, you know, 85 to 75 or 65 to 55. You know, it's we outscored people as well.
Well, with a team like Augustana, I know in football they always have the part of their team plays as if they are that opposing team. When in basketball, is there any kind of way you can do that or duplicate what Augustana does when you're in practice?
Yeah, we go over their tendencies the day before the game. We go over all their tendencies, but like I said, you know, the Mondays and Tuesdays we sprinkle in little drills that go over some of those things. We do some defensive drills that, you know, are trying to get done what we want to get done. You know, whether it's zone or doubling or showing our guys the rotations that they need to make on a ball screen, those kinds of things. I'll just try to help them, you know, get better at what we need to do during that game. And throughout the week, that's pretty much a typical, typically how we do it.
Well, a football team has a bunch of red shirts that can be your scout team. Mm-hmm. You don't have that luxury.
No, we don't. We have a couple red shirts, and they do, you know, run a little bit of that offense. You know, it's completely different, though, still.
From a skill level perspective, again, I just remember it used to be one or two people handled the ball, and you didn't want anybody else touching it, you know, bringing it up, unless you absolutely had to, the press or whatnot. Seems these days all five players on the floor are capable of handling the offense and dribbling the ball if called upon. Not that that's the way it's always going to go, but is that true? More people are, obviously point guard are the one and two you want leading the charge if you had a choice, but...
Yeah, I think the five men growing up today, AAU basketball, they don't want to go on the block. They want to shoot threes and, you know, try to be pretty like everybody else is. You know, you don't see many Shaquille O'Neals out there or straight back to the basket guys as much. But, you know, we certainly have presses that want to take advantage of the other team's big guys handling the ball. And because they still probably aren't as comfortable doing it, and they have to make decisions while they're doing it. And, You know, I can think of a couple of our presses right now where we just try to take away the point guard and make the four-man and dribble it up and, you know,
throw it
take
away.
Our chances. Exactly, yeah. Dribble off a foot or throw it away. Yeah.
Where would you say is your strength going into this weekend on your team? Like, is there some part of your game that you're really confident that, okay, we, you know, it may help at least keep the game close?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the last few games, even though there were losses, we did a much better job of attacking the paint. And it's, you know, it can be on a post-up with a big. It can be on penetration from a guard. We did a much better job of doing that. But when you do that, teams are going to collapse, and then you need to be able to find perimeter players to knock down shots. And that's the part that hasn't been there yet for us this year. It's been really inconsistent. I think Mayville State might have been the only game where we actually shot the ball well from the perimeter. And going into the year, I thought we'd be pretty solid there. And so hopefully that can continue to improve, because we are improving other areas. We need to shoot the ball better in order to have success.
I must admit, I don't really watch the NBA. Since Latrell Sprewell said he couldn't feed his family on $13 million. Honestly, that was the last day that I watched an NBA game from beginning to end. Being a Wisconsin Badger fan, I do like college basketball. Mm-hmm. Being from Wisconsin, I'm a Badger fan. I was watching the draft a little bit to see where Frank Kaminsky was going to go. Mm-hmm. The Knicks get the Porzingis guy, or however the heck you say that last name. Mm-hmm. Everybody went nuts that this guy is terrible, and the Knicks don't know what they're doing. Turns out he's one of the best players in the NBA right now. Tells you what fans know.
Nothing.
How many good basketball players are there in the world?
Unbelievable, I think. I mean, like in your day, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, stole the show, maybe Julius Erving's on his ladder, Michael Jordan. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's just so many good players right now that they all share the spotlight. Steph Curry, to some, is the best player in the world, and he's like 6'3 and maybe a buck, 180 pounds, you know. And there's some that are saying he's the best. You know, I probably would say LeBron, because he's so versatile. LeBron James still, but there's a lot of good players around the world. The game's grown, I think, drastically over the years. And, you know, I'm not sure what the statistics are in the NBA right now of European players, but there was a pretty good chunk of them. And I wouldn't be surprised if there still is a good chunk of, good percentage of players from across the world in the NBA.
Do you credit that to youth basketball and how big it's become, or just the fact that there's more kids out there that have adapted to, like, this is going to be my sport, mm-hmm. and parents are really pushing for their kid to be a one-sport athlete rather than a three-sport athlete nowadays?
There could be some of that, but I'd probably give first credit to Magic Johnson and Larry Bird for growing the game so much. I think those two are so fabulous in what they did that the game started to become worldwide, and then Michael Jordan took the torch and probably made it even more of a worldwide game. And you know, because of that, the game has grown so much in that time. But you're right, the sports have become more specialized. Basketball players, you're not seeing quite as many playing baseball in the summer, or maybe even playing football in the fall. Because it might require at the high school. Some of the high schools are getting so big and so specialized that you have to just spend so much time on your game, or else you're not going to even make the team. Interesting.
Well, I think part of the rise of the popularity, too, has to do with the cost. I mean, basketball mm-hmm. is a pretty low-cost sport.
It is,
you can
yeah.
play it any time of year, as long as you got a cover over your head.
Right.
You just need a ball and a couple of basketball hoops, mm-hmm. in a sense, to get started. So it's not adding a hockey program and all the expenses that come with that mm-hmm. versus basketball. More and more cities, towns across the world can play it.
Yeah. Yeah, it, you're probably right with that. It's an easy sport, a lot of access to it, and if you don't mind shooting out in the wind a little bit, improve your taking it to the hole type of game, it's a fun sport.
Oh, I'm trying to remember what the guy's name is from Hoosiers.
Just Jimmy Chipwood?
Jimmy Chipwood. Yeah. Are there enough guys that just sit out there and shoot?
gosh. You know, I don't know. I think they all want to handle the rock and, you know, drive it and be complete players more than they want to stand out there and shoot it. But we still try to find those guys, though, that's for sure.
Really? I think that'd be the way out. You just stand in the corner and wait for the ball to come, and then knock it down and run back and then go stand there again. I mean, you know,
Kareem never even ran back.
Well, true. Good point. Good point.
He didn't get past half court defensively.
True.
Lakers won all those games 4-on-5 defensively. Yeah. Are the fundamentals where they were 10 years ago?
Why? That's a good question, too. You know, if you look at some of the top teams in Division I basketball, I think the fundamentals are pretty darn good. If you looked at the mid-major, and this is my opinion, if you look at some of the lower Division I, it might be more about being a good athlete and you know, flying around out there and jumping high and making a lot of havoc. But, you know, you watch Kansas and Michigan State, there's some pretty skilled players out there still. And so, you know, I can't say that it's not. I think there's a lot of skilled NBA basketball players as well. The game's grown. It makes it, you have to stay with, you know, your skill level in order to be successful or to make that $20 million a year. And
it's a kid from Minneapolis that the Timberwolves got that they just sent down.
Tyus Jones?
Yes.
Yeah.
Stud in high school. Best player
in the state,
almost
wasn't
in
he?
The state's history.
Mm-hmm.
One and done or two and done?
One and done.
One and done. National title at Duke.
And he gets sent down to the developmental league before Christmas in the NBA.
Wow.
Well, he's pretty young.
Because he can't play there right now.
Oh, that is tough, though.
Got to play defense. Got to play offense.
Yeah.
Can't pick one or the other.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, the one thing that Brian Schultz and I don't agree on is I cheer for the Spartans. He cheers for the Badgers. Makes things interesting.
Don't like Michigan State at all.
I like the Spartans.
The Spartans?
I like Tom Izzo.
Who
I love watching
you?
Izzo coach.
I don't.
What?
Good
I'm
question,
sorry.
Biss.
Okay, I was a Gopher fan when I was growing up. Clem Haskins era. Yes, I could probably name most of the players on his team, but with everything that they've been through, it's hard to, I don't know, it's hard being a Gopher fan. It's hard being a Vikings fan.
Well, I'm okay with that explanation of why you're not necessarily following the Gophers, but Michigan State, Kelly, really?
Okay, so
she likes the coach.
I like Tom Izzo. I like watching him coach. I heard an interview with him once on one of the channels on my way to I was actually broadcasting Catholic Bina Boys basketball at the time, on my way to Thief River Falls for a tournament game. And I'm in the car and I'm listening to one of the national games that was broadcast on one of our AM stations or whatever. And I hear Tom Izzo in the post game on the way back from that high school game talking about one of his players he took in during Thanksgiving or Christmas. Because the kid comes from this broken home and, you know, how he was kind of like his second dad. And, like, I'm like going, this guy is really cool. I mean, like, he doesn't just treat his players like players. They're like family. And I was like, I really admire that, you know, because you're spending that much time with these young people. You're influencing them in a positive way. I don't know. And ever since then, I've watched the Spartans, and I've got a good friend who went to Michigan State, so.
She likes the color green, too, Biss. I'm just kidding,
that
Kel.
Too, yeah, okay.
That's all well and good. It's the Michigan State
Sorry.
Spartans.
And my friend Emily would approve of my conversation as I cheer on her Spartans.
Sports on the Round from the Ground Round. If you are looking for stocking stuffer ideas, Ground Round gift cards, the perfect gift for the holidays.
Busy in here tonight.
I like eight of them for stocking stuffers and keep a bunch for yourself. It's perfectly acceptable.
Everybody likes free food.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sports on the Round continues from the Ground Round next, right here on the Beaver Radio Network.
More of Sports in the Round coming up live from the Ground Round on 92.1 The River.
Celebrate the holiday season with your local cooperative. This Friday between 9 and 3, stop by the Paul Bunyan Community.
Get up to 250 digital channels with Paul Bunyan Television. And with our whole home DVR, you can watch your shows whenever you want. Fiber optic fast internet delivers speeds up to a gigabit.
Heads or tails? Kick or receive, with the wind or against the wind. Buy your friend a Bud Light. Buy a stranger a Bud Light. Go to your team's bar. Go to the opposing team's bar. Buy a round during the next truck commercial. Buy a round during the next Talking Duck commercial. If you're truly up for whatever this weekend, grab the perfect beer for whatever happens. Crisp, refreshing Bud Light. Make two plans and let the NFL coin toss make the call. Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Game day and every other day, Beaver sports fans know the Ground Round's got what they like. There's always sports action on the big screens, plus nightly food and drink specials to enjoy with your friends. Happy hours are 4 to 6 p.m. and 9 to 11 every night. And every Thursday, there's extra fun with bar bingo at 9 p.m. Sports in the Round, live every Wednesday at 6. The Ground Round in Bemidji, proud sponsor of the Beaver Radio Network.
We've got what you like. Ground Round.
Whether you're buying your first home or building your dream home, having a trusted financial partner is the first step. Buying your first home? Talk to First National Bank Bemidji about getting pre-approved. Ready to buy or build your dream home? They can help with that too. First National Bank is Bemidji's bank, and they have the knowledge, understanding, and financial services that are just right for you at every stage of life.
Working together, we know we can count on our friends.
First National Bank of Bemidji, a partnership for generations, member FDIC.
Hi.
Hey, you're Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Sure am. That's not the last I do, is it?
Yep, and it's all mine.
What do you want for it?
I'll trade you for your race car outside.
It's a deal.
Sweet!
Just make sure you bring the 88 back in one piece.
Diet Mountain Dew. Yeah, it tastes that good.
LeBraton Insurance Incorporated. Protect your stuff with a company and an agent you can trust. Sarah LeBraton in Bemidji and John LeBraton in Bagley are ready to show you just how much you can save on your home or renter's insurance, your auto, boat, and recreational vehicle coverage, even on your life insurance and other financial services. We're located on Bemidji Avenue just east of St. Philip's Church. Drop in or call today to find out how easy insurance can be. LeBraton Insurance. Get ready to love of your agent.
This is Sports in the Round, live from the Ground Round, 92.1 The River.
Sports in the Round from the Ground Round on the Beaver Radio Network. As we chat Beaver basketball tonight, both the men's and women's teams at BSU are in action at home this weekend, August and a Friday night. Women at 6, men at 8, and Wayne State on Saturday. Women at 4, the men at 6. I understand that it happens to fall Thanksgiving weekend and the last weekend before Christmas break, but it doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense to me to get Crookston out of the way twice in a month.
I know.
Is it just because it's your travel partner and it's around the holidays?
You know, I'm not sure how it set up. I know a few years ago we had one Tuesday, Friday, Saturday. Well, actually, it would have been Friday, Saturday, Tuesday, Friday, Saturday type of a scenario in the conference, and they tried to eliminate it. And one of the ways they did it was to start the year off with it, or Thanksgiving, I mean, and then one right before the holidays. There are, I think, a couple schools or a couple partners that moved it, but I still think most of them kept it around that same time frame. I'm okay with it. I would rather have it later in the year, but I don't want to have it later in the year with the expense of us playing Friday, Saturday, Tuesday, Friday, Saturday when someone else is playing Friday, Saturday, and Friday, Saturday. I think it would be too much of a disadvantage for us.
Because by the time this game happens, finals are over, everybody's gone, right, for the most part? So these guys are just sticking around because of the game.
Exactly, yeah.
What's the league look like this year?
I think it's going to be pretty balanced in the middle. I think you've got a couple of outstanding teams in Augustana for sure. Moorhead's, I think, going to be really good again. And then I think you got a lot of good teams in there that will be vying for spots. And so, you know, even the bottom teams, I think, have improved this year as well. So it's going to definitely be a challenge. You have to come with your A game every night.
Playoff structure the same. One north plays eight south.
Yep.
And then one south plays eight north.
Yep.
So everybody makes it.
Everybody makes the tournament, yep.
I like that everybody makes the tournament because basketball to me is a sport unlike football where you can have more upsets.
Mm-hmm.
March Madness has proven that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There haven't been many upsets, though, have there?
No, there haven't, especially the 1-8 games. I don't know if there's ever been one, but, yeah, there always is. I mean, basketball is unique. You just get hot one night and you can knock somebody off. And so, you know, I might prefer, to be honest with you, maybe only the top 12 get in maybe or something like that, where 1 through 4 get byes, give them an extra advantage, and then play out 5 through 12 or something like that. But we've talked about it as coaches too, and I think the women's side wants everybody to get in a little bit more, but the men are fine with it as well.
With the structure of Division One, it's the automatic bid comes with the postseason tournament. Is that the same way at Division Two for you guys? You win no matter what your record was. You win that tournament, you go to the national tournament.
Yep, it's the same. Yep.
So there's always the incentive hanging out there.
Yep. It the rationale is it makes the games late in the year still count for something. You still want to try to get better, and you know you have one more shot in the tournament, and hopefully you can go on a little bit of a run.
Yeah.
And it's happened. I think Drake, when I was down in my Iowa days, Drake did it. Very, very average to poor season. Somehow found some magic. Won 4 games in the Missouri Valley Conference in women's basketball. And went on to play No. 1 Tennessee in the first round of NCAA tournament. But, you know, that was a heck of a story there. But doesn't happen very often, that's for sure.
Kel had asked you during the break who some of your favorite college teams are. Do you have any college coaching mentors at D1?
Well, I spent a good chunk of time with Roy Williams at his practices and the meetings and things like that since my brother played for him for 4 years. So we'll definitely follow. Still Kansas, but Roy's at North Carolina now, so I still follow North Carolina. But I always did as growing up. I followed North Carolina as well. But dude, I'm just a fan of good basketball, college basketball, good games, teams that and coaches that I feel like do it the right way, play unselfish, play good defense, have fun offenses to watch. So just a fan of good basketball in general.
Do you watch much NBA?
I do. I think what we try to do with our team offensively is more adapt to an NBA system than it probably is to anything else. But I do think the college game is starting to evolve into more NBA type stuff as well. But you know, I made a change from the motion stuff maybe like 8-9 years ago. I seem to like it. I think it works well. It gives our players some ownership, and you know, it's fun to coach them that way.
Well, I always ask you, Mike, any technicals so far this year?
No, we're good.
None?
We're good.
No?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so disappointing.
It's always on the tip of my tongue, but calm and cool still.
Excellent.
You know, keeps
I don't know if I'd go that far, Mike.
Yeah.
But you only got 1 or 2 last year, right?
Oh, I'm not sure. I know I got tossed my first year once, yeah. Tossed from the game.
Awesome.
So that was exciting. But now we've been able to handle
maintain.
Yeah. I didn't get tossed because of swearing or anything like that. I got tossed because I was very, very sarcastic and just went over the top a little.
Nothing
the
wrong
sarcasm.
With that.
Yeah.
Well, last week we had a chance to visit with your sister-in-law, who Biss.
Yeah.
This shocked Biss. I said to Chelsea, I said, so this, you know, your brother-in-law was on the search committee, had to step down, and Biss is like looking at me like, who are you talking about? And I said, yeah, Mike Boshi, the head coach of the men's team. And what's it like to have family, obviously with the holidays here, and you and your wife having a group of kids and Chelsea being here now coaching? It's got to be nice to at least have all the family here pretty much.
Yeah, it is. You know, out of the office, it's normal. I mean, she comes over probably once a week or so, maybe more times, but just to spend time with her sister, obviously my wife and her nieces and nephews. But in the office, she's just another coach. I mean, to be honest with you, she's just someone that I'm a co-worker with and enjoy being around.
There can't be that many in-laws that are head coaches of a men's and women's program anywhere in the country. I mean, that's got to be very unique.
Probably is, yeah.
Were you relieved you got to be off the search committee? You didn't have to deal with it then?
A little bit,
yeah. That's an arduous process right. That you guys go through. I mean, that hiring process is...
Yeah. Way to go, Minsky.
Not the normal hiring process.
Yeah.
Steve Pappas did the 2 games this past weekend. And I failed to tell him all the rule changes for women's basketball and that they played quarters.
Oh, no.
And he was a little taken aback when he got there. And how come they're playing 4 quarters tonight? I said, how'd it go? He goes, I'm fairly certain that Coach DeVille might just put a hole in the floor with those heels. She gets fired up on the sidelines. Kind of her, yeah? Mm-hmm. She always been that way?
Yeah, I've always thought of her as a bulldog, and I think... You know, when people ask me about her early in that process, like, she's a bulldog. She's a competitor. She was a good athlete at Augustana. There's a reason she was a good athlete. You know, she wasn't a superly, overly skilled player or anything like that, but she was one of those tough athletes that did a lot of the dirty work and was just determined to be good, and I think she coaches that way as well.
Well, she's young, but then her coaching staff is also very young.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's an advantage for her in this league to kind of bring that new energy?
It's certainly going to help her in recruiting. You know, she can, I think, relate to the young females and bring in some quality talent. And when you have quality talent, you don't have to be as smart as a coach. So, you know, that's always the key. It's always the key.
Let
get the players that make you look good.
And don't you think that, you know, with age and maybe children comes a little, you calm as a coach a little bit more? I mean,
have you ever seen him on the sidelines?
No.
I have. Actually, it's like
he seems so calm.
There's no calm, Biss.
No?
No.
No?
He controls
sometimes,
it so he doesn't get a tee.
Sometimes a little bit.
Yeah. Biss, you need to go to a basketball game.
I do.
Yeah.
They always seem to conflict.
Well, next Friday.
Next Friday.
Oh, there you go. You're right.
Because, Mike, when we interview, you're so calm and chill. Mm-hmm. And I've seen you on the sidelines, and I'm like, wow.
Were you here when Gio was here?
No.
Okay. He was a guy you interviewed that you knew he was like a Bobby Knight on the sideline.
The guy after him that came from the south and wrecked his snowmobile the first day he was on it, broke his ribs.
Oh, who was that?
Pat
Gio. Oh, yeah, Pat Smith, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Pat just got hired our first year here.
Yeah.
All right.
It's been 11 years.
You can usually tell the personality of the coach, but no, I would have guessed Mike's just calm and cool on the sidelines.
There are no basketball coaches calm and cool on the sidelines.
True, that's true.
Don't compare me to Bobby Knight.
No,
right?
No.
You've never thrown a chair, have you?
No. Thought about it maybe, but.
I just remember Matt Bowen turning the same shade of red as his hair when
he still does.
Yeah, he still does.
Yeah.
Wasn't that the first time they beat you? No, they've beaten you since he's taken over. But I remember the first few times Bowen's teams couldn't beat BSU.
Yeah.
Well,
there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
He's a traitor now. He left.
That's right. Yeah.
Ryan Montgomery has been here now for 8 seasons, your lead assistant. Typically, when a new coach comes in, they're going to keep one assistant for a year, maybe 2 years, just to add stability and keep the recruits. And here you've kept Ryan. It must be a fit.
Yeah, we've done well. I think he knows what's expected now. And I think he knows what we want to have done both offensively and defensively. So it's been pretty easy, pretty smooth. And, you know, also have Matt Mackerzak, who I think has done a really nice job, too.
He's a Packer fan.
Yeah.
I like him.
Oh, jeez.
I had no clue how to say his last name, so I'm glad you said it.
I don't think you can call him just a Packer fan, though. I think you can call him, like, a Packer crazy fan.
He's worse than me, Kel.
Really?
Yes.
There's somebody worse than you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
They're awesome. All in that category.
Yeah.
Well, I'm fairly certain I woke up a hotel last Thursday, but.
The Hail Mary?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
That was a crazy game.
That's going to make the difference between the Vikings and the Packers winning the NFC, I bet. But.
Yeah. Matt's a D1 guy, played at Green Bay.
Green Bay, yeah.
Does that matter in the coaching world that you've been at that level?
He didn't play there. He was a manager there for a number of years. But I think, you know, any good experience you can have under good coaches is definitely going to help. Just the more things. You know, I was fortunate to play for Dave Gunther and Hall of Fame coach Rich Glass, Hall of Fame coach. And then I was a GA under Bob Olson, Hall of Fame coach. And all those experiences just help you. You can draw from them at some point in your career. And I think he's had some good experiences at Green Bay. I think he's at Shadron for a year or two with another coach, a different style, different system. And those things help.
Is Rich still at Concordia Moorhead?
Yeah, he's the AD and basketball coach still. Yeah.
Wow.
A couple more years in him, I think. A couple more years.
Family's got some good ties to this town.
Mike, have you had a lot of your players that you've coached over the years end up coaching elsewhere and contact you for advice or anything?
Yeah, that's a good question. I have to think about that a little bit. I know some have. You know, my former assistants both are coaching. One's the head coach at Briarcliff University, doing a great job down there, NEIA school in Sioux City, Iowa. Another one of my former assistants is down at Central College as an assistant. He got out of coaching a little bit, came back into it. And then Jack runs GA, DeMarco Turner's in high school, Justin Madsen. I mean, now that I think about it, there are quite a few of them that are sticking their nose in the coaching business.
When you're an assistant coach, what does that all – I mean, are you a teacher as well? Or I mean, because I think people will hear that term, and I know that there's a lot of work that goes into it, but it just seems that's all they do? Is it a part-time position, or is it a full-time, and they've got to do a few other things around whether it's administrative or educational?
Yeah, there's a lot of things to do administratively. I mean, paperwork and we have to do so many things with NCAA online and filing out our practice times, when we practice, how many hours we practice, to, you know, scouting reports. Both Matt and Ryan share the scouting reports. Academic progress, you know, it just, you know, making sure Matt has half our guys, Ryan has half our guys, and they just kind of go through and make sure everybody's, you know, doing their job in the classrooms. You know, just a bunch of little things outside of basketball. You know, the teachings of the game are still going to be my philosophy, and those guys have to learn that and be able to teach that. But there's just a lot of little things outside of it they have to do. Recruiting.
Full-time? Both are full-time employees? Or
yeah. Matt's a full-time employee, but he only gets paid half-time, basically. Mm. And then Ryan's a full-time employee. Yep.
Who are your captains?
The three seniors, Womack, Zimmerman, and DJ Anderson.
How do they kind of play off each other as far as how they act and lead as a captain?
Well, you know, they're unique captains because they've only been here a year and a half maybe, so they haven't been here as long as maybe you'd like your captains to be. But, you know, DJ's a little bit more quiet and reserved. Womack's maybe a little bit more outspoken, being willing to lead with his voice a little bit more. Zimmerman works really hard. He's a competitor. So they're doing a really good job, I think, of getting across what we want to get across. And, you know, certainly we're going to continue to push those guys to lead throughout the year. And they've gotten better, even in the short time that they've been here on campus.
Obviously, we want everyone to get to the gym and cheer you guys on and boo and heckle and do whatever and all good sportsmanship to Augustana this Friday night. But
we need more hecklers, though. I think we need more hecklers there. Get on the officials.
Get that student section fired up.
Get mad at us for. Get mad at the other team.
Yeah.
No, we like to get on those officials.
Yeah. Brian. But he's us. You're not officiating their games.
I did one of the women's games already this year.
How'd that go? Did you get heckled at all? Or?
Well, when Chelsea was here last week.
When half of the people in the crowd are yelling my name, that's probably a sign that I shouldn't have been there.
Yeah.
They're like, Schultzy.
Hi, how are you, Brian?
Saving the university some money. They didn't have to pay the league refs to come all the way here from the cities. I was at a game last night where the student section was right on the court.
Sweet.
In 1970s era uniforms.
Awesome.
Short shorts and tight and yelling and screaming. And I'm like, wow, those uniforms should be burned. It's a fun atmosphere.
There was
a little bit of heckling going on as well, which maybe at the high school level isn't necessarily the best, but it was fun to be there.
I don't go watch him ref.
No.
I can't.
No. All those bad calls, I can just see him right now.
No, I just have to listen to the parents, and I'm like plugging my ears.
We need
I think
Rongstad's
it'd be fun
dad.
To watch.
You remember Rongstad's dad, Lance Rongstad's dad?
Yep.
We need him back. Come to the games. He's always really good at getting on officials.
He was a yeller.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He was good at that stuff.
Contrary to popular belief, Mike, the refs really don't care who wins.
I don't believe it for a minute.
The check is the same no matter who wins. Trust me. Best of luck this weekend and all season, Coach. We appreciate it.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
That's Mike Boshi, head coach of the BSU men's basketball team. Sports in the Round from the Ground Round here on the Beaver Radio Network.
More of Sports in the Round coming up live from the Ground Round on 92.1 The River.
You're gonna love getting used to the new sun.
To be successful in a sport, an athlete must be both dedicated and competitive. Hi, this is Becky with Venusa Appliance Sales and Service. As a proud sponsor of Bemidji State University Sports, we carry that same philosophy. At Venusa, our crew is 100% dedicated to giving you the best product while customer service. We are competitively priced. Come see why Venusa does it better. Located just behind Sanford Walk-In Clinic on Minn Kota Avenue.
You're gonna love getting used to Venusa.
Game day and every other day, Beaver sports fans know the Ground Round's got what they like. There's always sports action on the big screens, plus nightly food and drink specials to enjoy with your friends. Happy hours are 4 to 6 p.m. and 9 to 11 every night. And every Thursday, there's extra fun with Bar Bingo at 9 p.m. Sports in the Round, live every Wednesday at 6. The Ground Round in Bemidji, proud sponsor of the Beaver Radio Network.
We got what you like, the Ground Round.
Are you a Christian looking to align your faith and finances? Then you'll want to check out Thrivent Financial. We're not your typical financial services provider. We're a not-for-profit Fortune 500 organization that helps our nearly 2.4 million members be wise with money. We provide guidance that reflects your values so you can protect what matters most. We help members live generously and strengthen the communities where they live, work, and worship. Learn more about the Thrivent story by contacting me, Financial Associate Alan Zutz, at 444-0202.
Glass Doctor of Bemidji is locally owned and proudly supports BSU Sports. Glass Doctor is the place to call for all your glass repair and replacement needs. They handle both residential and light commercial glass work. All of their technicians are trained and certified. Quality workmanship and customer satisfaction is what you can expect from Glass Doctor of Bemidji. Walk-ins welcome or call 759-1289 for an appointment. Located next to Arby's, open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5.
Call the Glass Doctor, we'll fix your paint.
Hi.
Hey, you're Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Sure am. That's not the last I do, is it?
Yep, and it's all mine.
What do you want for it?
I'll trade you for your race car outside.
It's a deal.
Sweet.
Just make sure you bring the 88 back in one piece.
Diet Mountain Dew. Yeah, it tastes that good.
Hi, this is Phil from Deerwood Bank here in Bemidji. Free business checking ought to be, you know, free, as in no monthly service fees. Not today, next month, or next year. That's kind of the point. Small business owners, make sure you're not paying for free. If it's time to move your business account, let us do the heavy lifting. Bring in your statement and we'll take care of the account transfers, automatic payments, payroll, everything. You don't work for us, we work for you. We're Deerwood Bank, member FDIC, and the bank with all the answers.
You're listening to Sports in the Round on 92.1 The River.
Sports in the Round from the Ground Round here on the Beaver Radio Network. Former BSU women's hockey player Jess Abel. Her parents just showed up. Kel is nowhere to be found.
Off she goes.
Yes. Oh, shameless plug. Her parents do the Double Barrel Blues Festival in Longville every summer.
Well, that's not that far from here.
No.
I can't say I've ever heard of it before.
He's got a Barrel Blues Festival.
Blues Festival.
The Havels own a grouse hunting camp.
Sweet.
And that's where they have the festival.
Huh. I like the blues.
Nothing wrong with cold beer and music.
No.
Kel goes, do you want to go? They have beer and music, right? I'm there.
Yeah, that's an easy draw.
Yeah. A little bit later on the program, we will visit with Chris Bergeron, the head coach of the Bowling Green Falcons. Had a chance to visit with him yesterday. They are en route already
yes.
Today. The Student Athlete Advisory Council is having a hat mint drive this weekend. You can drop those off in the concourse both Friday and Saturday night. And on Saturday, they will have a teddy bear toss. New or gently used after the first goal.
Sweet.
They changed it. It used to be after the first period. They're going to do it after a goal again.
Hopefully.
Hopefully, yes. So throw them all at once. Don't throw it after the next goal because BSU's already been... The recipients of a power play and a game-winning goal. We don't need Bowling Green to do that.
It wasn't a game-winning goal. It was a game-changing goal.
Well, they ended up winning in overtime because of it.
Correct.
And it was not a close hockey game before that.
No.
So after the first goal, throw it. No more.
No more teddy toss incidents. But I don't know if you saw virally the teddy bear toss they had in Calgary.
No, I missed that. I got to look it up.
Was this last year?
No, I don't know if it was. I think it was just recently. Like six, there was packed 28,000 people.
Oh, my. Did it take them hours to take the...
Oh, it was insane. To the point where the whole ice was covered in them. And the players, and I think it was, I don't know if it was the Calgary Flames, if it was at the pro level. It couldn't have been at the pro level. Maybe it was minor leagues. But they're all jumping into the piles of teddy bears. Like the snowbank. It was pretty cool. But... it's a traditional thing and obviously a good cause, so bring the teddy bears
Saturday
and preferably in plastic wrap, correct?
Yes.
Because it's going to go on ice, remember?
Yeah. When they did it at the end of the period, it didn't matter.
Oh, my goodness. Yahoo.com on their sports Canadian. I'll let it load. You guys keep talking.
I think it was, I mean, they seriously brought out trucks and filled the backs of pickups with these things.
The Calgary Hitmen, who must be their, it's the Southern Alberta Hockey, must be a minor league team.
World record, 60,000 or something. I mean, it was insane. It just
a
kept
crowd
coming.
A crowd of 17,199 in Calgary, many of whom brought multiple stuffed toys, had to hold on through a scoreless opening period at the 3:42 mark of the second.
Well, that just stinks. Everybody goes to the concession stand in the bathroom at the intermission and got to carry all these teddy bears because nobody scored.
Okay. Well, they didn't need to carry them, Brian. They could have just left them. I mean, there was plenty of them to throw. Seriously, if you watch that, it's incredible. I've never seen anything. They have people at the base of the stands because, of course, there's upper levels. Mm-hmm. Just with mountains of teddy bears just throwing them over the boards because they landed short.
There was a youngster in Ferris last weekend that could not get that teddy bear up over the 14-foot glass to save his life.
So after the first goal,
when they did it at the intermission, it didn't matter if they were in a bag or not. The Zamboni went right across the ice and not a problem. They got to play yet the rest of the period.
Yes.
So put them in a bag.
They don't want anything falling off the teddy bear.
Yes.
That a skate could step on, and that would be bad. So
so that's after the first goal on Saturday. The Hetman drive both Friday and Saturday. I have not heard, but I am going to assume that the Santa will be there for pictures. Santa's always there for pictures.
Yep, I did hear that.
Can you guess who that courtesy of?
Okay, here it is.
I know that's going on.
World record, 28,815 bears.
That is insane.
Isn't it?
That's unbelievable. They got some pictures
on
here.
The other team went back to the locker room. It had to have been, a half-hour delay. I mean, the other team just...
Unreal.
How is the league okay with that?
I think they expected that many.
They will now.
Hey, it's all for a good cause. And
look at this
who would
picture.
Have heard of this Calgary minor league hockey team otherwise? Public relations.
Look at that picture.
Oh, I know.
That's unbelievable. Okay, I will retweet it. Go to our Twitter feed, Beaver Radio Net, and you will see it. I will retweet
She's going to retweet, Brian.
Yep, I'm going to.
I'm not.
How about you hashtag it, right? Something, too?
Hashtag it. Schultze's not going to hashtag this.
Hey, Beaver hockey fans. Hey, Beaver Nation.
So the women's hockey team had a home-and-home last weekend. The men's hockey team was in action. We will talk about the women's series first when we come back, and then